Praise God. You know, reflecting on what I said about the monumental, but you know, when we look and we see the condition of our society, we see the conditions of our nation, we see the condition of churches and families in the churches. You know, businessmen can provide solely needed jobs. Educators can teach useful knowledge of the world. Self-help programs can offer effective methods of behavior modification. You know, sometimes we need behavioral modifications, and there's self-help programs that can do those things. Advanced psychological techniques can aid in self-understanding. But they can't change a human heart. All of those things can't change a human heart. Can't heal a wounded soul. Can't turn hatred into love. Can't bring repentance, forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace. And they can't bring signs and wonders. They can't heal the sick and set the captive free. Only one power exists on this planet that can do the above. It's the power of the love of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can change hatred into love, that can bring repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation and peace, and that can heal the sick. It's the power of the love of Jesus. The love that conquers sin and wipes out shame, heals wounds, brings reconciliation to enemies. It patches broken dreams. You know, you're in the world and you see people. There's so many people that have broken dreams, that have everything's a mess, but Jesus can touch and Jesus can heal. He heals the sick. We've seen it happen over and over again. He heals the sick and he sets the captives free. He ultimately changes the world one life at a time. One person at a time, as he changes our lives, as he changes your life, as you allow and you reach out to him and he changes your life, he's bringing change to the world one person at a time. You know, we want it to happen multitudes and multitudes, you know, but all of a sudden Jesus does it one person at a time. Praise God. But you know what? This radical message, and it's a radical message that brings change. It's a radical that brings change to people. It has been given to the church. The transforming love, the radical message that Jesus has been given to the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, and he says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, Jesus made that statement to Peter, and he was, in the previous verses that led up to that, he was asking the disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? And they were saying, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, and some say you're somebody else. And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said on that revelation, and he said that that revelation didn't come by flesh and blood, but it came from the Father. It came from a revelation that the Father gave Peter. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that revelation, not on Peter, but on the revelation that Peter had, that he is the Son of the living God, on that revelation, the church is built on. The future of the world rests in the hands of the local church. That's an awesome, you know, when you just stop and, you know, it's easy to say it. But when you just stop and you think about the future, not the world, yes, the world, but the future of our nation rests in the hands of the local church. I made this statement earlier that it's the church's failure that our nation has turned away from the Word of God. Amen? But praise God. It's basically, and I'm going to say it again and again and again, it's the church's deal, or it's all over. You know, we don't want to throw up our hands and say it's all over, do we? Without churches, without ministries so filled with the power of God that they can't help but they spill over the peace and the love and the joy into this world. Without the churches, depravity will win. Evil will continue to flood in the world. So it's up to us. It's up to the church to magnify Him, to praise Him, to stand up for Him, stand on the Word of God. The church is it. The power, the love, the greatness of God through Jesus can change and will change the world. Wanda, I want you to read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 10.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, gave us our mission for our stay here in the earth. The first time that Jesus ministered, and I believe every time that he went to a new area and he ministered, and we need to have the same anointing that Jesus had on him. It's possible. Amen? Read Luke 4, verse 18 and 19, Wanda.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Jesus went, and that verse in Luke 4 is quoted out of Isaiah, but Jesus got up at the synagogue and opened the scripture and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. When we go and we share, we need to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. walking with Him, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you to give you the words to talk, to give you the words to tell people, to walk with them. Jesus has given one clear mission statement for everyone in the body of Christ. You know what that mission statement is? To do His will on earth as it is in heaven. That's our mission statement. We're supposed to reflect heaven here on earth. Because in heaven, rebellion has been cast out. That's what it says in Revelation 12:9. Rebellion has been cast out. The model of what we're supposed to be living like is what it would be, is heaven. We need to be, that's our model. Heaven on earth. The main purpose of Jesus' death was so that His kingdom can be established in you and I, and as a result of that, can exercise kingdom authority here in this earth. It says in Luke 17:2, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom, when you know Jesus Christ, when you have Him in your heart, the kingdom of God is within you. And you reconcile the earth back to Him. You bring the kingdom into the situation that you're in. When we have Jesus in our hearts and we walk into a place, when we go into a place, we're supposed to be bringing the kingdom of God into that place. When you go into Walmart, you go into the HEB, you go into school, you go into your workplace, you're supposed to be bringing the presence of God and the kingdom of God into that place. Amen? The kingdom of God is within us. Wanda, read 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the work and the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him.
So the kingdom of God is within us. And God has given, we're to reconcile the world back to Him. That's our ministry. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, God hasn't changed His plan. From the beginning, He hasn't changed His plan. In the beginning, in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 through 28, God created man in His image and likeness. And they were to have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over the cattle, over the earth. And then in verse 28, He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and to subdue it. You know, that's quite an order. He said, you fill the earth, told Adam and Eve, and told us, He hadn't changed his mind. You fill the earth and subdue it. The believers of the church are to do this, to occupy, to take over the earth. And I'm pausing because sometimes I think we've goofed up. We've failed. We're not taking over anything. Amen? We're letting the enemy take over everything. Whose fault is it? It's ours. It's the church's. The first thing you do, pray. Well, the first thing you do is you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You turn your life over to Him. You have an experience with Him and a revelation. Like Jesus had in, you've talked about in Luke, the 4th chapter, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Wow. We need to pray. We need to say, God, I want to come to the place that when I walk into a place that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That the presence of God comes when I walk in. If we're believers, the presence of God is supposed to be going with you. Amen? And so many times, I don't know, well, I'm not going to get into all those why it doesn't, but there's a lot of things that we walk in and we don't change anything. We don't bring the presence of God. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else. But we need to be praying. We need to be praying. God, I want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because you've anointed me. You've given me words. And we don't have to go be preachers and say, nom, 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 nom. Just share and let the love of Jesus flow from you. Amen? Get excited. There's a young lady here that she gets excited when Jesus does something, when He heals them. Amen? Amen. But that's Jesus. God told Adam and Eve to fill the earth and to subdue it. The church is to occupy and to take over the earth, to transform families, transform cities, our country, our nation. And I think sometimes we don't pray enough. I know, you know, we pray, but then I don't know that we're really praying. Because we need to be praying and crying out to God. God, bring revival. Bring the Spirit of God into our nation. Bring the Spirit of God into Washington. You know, I think the prayer is we need to, that everybody in Washington needs to have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, we hear the stories of the Muslims and that are coming to Jesus. They had a revelation. They had a vision of Jesus. They had a revelation of Jesus, and they turn from being Muslims into Jesus Christ. Well, we need to have the same thing. We need to have a revelation, a fresh revelation. Sometimes we need a fresh revelation of how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, of what He's doing, what He wants to do. And we need to be praying. Excuse my English, that those characters up there in Washington would have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? If they have a revelation of Jesus, they might change things and do things a little different. How y'all like my mockingbird? Huh? Woodpecker mockingbird. Well, he's a... Anyway, he likes it here. But God has made us overcomers. And He's given us the means to overcome in our life, in our schools, in our communities. He's given us the means. You know, in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 11, it says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. I mean, when I stop and I think about that, when I know Jesus Christ, when I've given my life to Him, I have a revelation of Him, that the same Spirit, the same power, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead. And you think about it. I mean, He conquered death in the grave. He conquered it. And that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwells within us. Wow. What Adam lost through the blood of Jesus, we're being restored. What the Father has given, what the Father gave Adam and Eve and told them, you go and subdue the earth. He gave them the strength, the power, the wisdom. Can you imagine? It says that Adam and Eve walked and talked with God, the Father, in the cool of the evening, and He gave him instructions on how to do everything. You know, you think you're just walking along. No, God was giving Adam instructions on how to do things. And He's restoring that to us in Christ. He will give you instructions on how to bring reconciliation, how to restore things in your life, in your family. I want to share something that's going to kind of shake up your thinking. When Jesus died on the cross, our going to heaven wasn't the main focal point of the cross, but simply a byproduct of that purpose. The establishing of God's kingdom on earth was the main focal point of Jesus going and dying on the cross. We are Christ's ambassadors, and we're to bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. That's the model. In heaven is the model, and we're to bring that to earth. If the kingdom of heaven comes in you, you'll go to heaven anyway. I mean, that's just a byproduct. Amen? If our only goal to accepting Jesus and having Him come is for us to go to heaven, it's selfish. That's not the main thing about accepting Jesus. Going to heaven, going to heaven's a byproduct. The real deal is to bring heaven to earth. The purpose of the Lordship of Christ, we're supposed to bring heaven to earth. To bring His kingdom into our place. Amen? To bring the kingdom of God here amongst us. I always loved to read the second chapter of Acts. You know, you need to read it every now and then. You need to go back and read the second chapter of Acts every now and then, because that's the way the church is supposed to be. It was a community of believers who were so totally devoted to God that their life together was charged with the Spirit's power. That band of Christians, Christ followers, believers, they loved each other with a radical kind of love. They turned the world upside down. They took their mask off. You know what? We all have masks. You know, the things you put over, you know, not in... You know what a mask is? Do you know that we all have masks that we wear around? We want people to see not what I really am. I want them to see great I am. I want them to see what I'm supposed to be. Amen. But in the book of Acts, the new church, they took their masks off and they shared their lives with one another. They laughed, cried, and prayed, and sang and served together in Christian fellowship. It says that those who had more shared with those who had less. The people related together in ways that bridged gender and racial problems, and they celebrated cultural differences. This community of believers offered unbelievers a vision of life that was so beautiful it took their breath away. I mean, people were coming to Jesus, to the church, 3,000 at a time. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, one sermon and 3,000 people came to, you know, and they were, the church, it says in, you go read the second chapter of Acts. You need to read it sometimes. I mean, they were adding daily to the church, not only just on Sunday morning. They were adding daily to the church. This church was bold, was creative, and it was so dynamic that the community couldn't resist it. That ain't happened here yet, has it? You know, I read that and I say, God, what's going on? What's going on? Wanda, read the second chapter of Acts. Read verse 40 and 47. But I want as a homework for everybody to go read the whole chapter. Read it.
Beginning at 40 or?
Yeah, verse 40 through 47.
And with many other words, he testified and exalted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
It says that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. In other words, they were studying the Word of God. They were listening to the Word of God. They were having the Word of God direct their lives, direct them. They were sharing and fellowshipping one with another. And then it says that many signs and wonders were happening, and great fear. Wow. I can't imagine sometimes when you say great fear, because they were afraid of doing anything that would go against what God said. You know, sometimes, you know, some people say, "Oh, you're so bold," not to me, but "You're so bold, you can just go share with anything." No, sometimes it's because I got a fear of God that you share. You share the truth because you have the respect and honor of God, relationship with Him, that you're going to tell people how it is. The love of God and respect. Sometimes we come into a place or somebody said, well, we can just do this and we can do that. No. God said this. The Word of God says this. Amen? And we're supposed to be doing it. When we think of the world we live in, where evil manifests itself in a way that defy imagination. I mean, things are happening today that kind of defy my imagination. Hatred going on, killing, perversion, madmen doing terrible things, amen? I mean, when you go into a place and get your AK-47 and kill everybody in one, you're wacko, amen? A madman is taking over. But we need to get excited and more committed to seeing Jesus change people's lives. Amen? The church. And as we pray and we seek God, sometimes we need to have more times of just praying and seeking God. See what He's doing. And through people, what He can do. God, work in me. Work in us to change the world. Amen? That's what He's wanting. You just think about it. That's what God wants to do in you and I. He wants us to take the Word of God, the kingdom of God, out to this broken world. Amen? He wants that. Do you want that? Do we want that? Do we want to bring change to our schools? Change to our cities? Change to our government? We need to let God, we need to beg Him. God, work in me to change me, to bring about change, to let the kingdom of God come in. Let the presence of God be so powerful on me, on us. Amen? But Father, we thank You and we magnify You. And Lord, just this morning, Lord, let each one of us just pause and ask You. Lord, we ask You to come into our lives. Lord, we give You our life. We can all say that together. Lord, I give You my life. Lord, I ask that You come in. Come into me. Change me. Give me a special new revelation of You, of Your love. Of how much You care for us. Lord, let me be used to bring the kingdom of God in this place, in our cities, in our homes, in our schools, in our city government, our state government, and our national government. Lord, just let that just work in each one of us to change our families, to change me. In Jesus' name.